This is the Ethanol Report. The ethanol industry was at the NACS convention in Las Vegas. That's the Association for Convenience and Petroleum Retailers. And they were promoting ethanol blender pumps for retailers. Joanna Schrader was there, and she spoke with Robert White of the Renewable Fuels Association.
Well, you guys have a really great booth here at the show. And can you tell us a little bit about what your focus is?
Well, here we're at the largest gathering of petroleum marketers and station owners in the country, perhaps in the world, expecting well over 10,000 attendees. And we're here to educate them on the opportunities that blending ethanol presents their business case. And in this particular instance, we're talking about blender pumps themselves and how not only could they increase their profits, but potentially lower the price to consumers, differentiate themselves from perhaps some other major competitors in the area, and ultimately add more to their bottom line.
Well, you know, for a lot of consumers across the country, you mentioned this is actually not only a national show, but an international show. For people who've never seen a blender pump, can you explain for a minute what a blender pump is?
Well, the good thing about it is there's several on display here because it's definitely becoming a very hot topic. But it's not necessarily new technology. The petroleum industry has been used to a blender pump, essentially combining regular gasoline and premium to make mid-grade for almost 20 years now. And the whole idea behind that was to eliminate the need for a third tank in the ground, underground storage tank for mid-grade fuel. And so we're looking at the same concept where you could ultimately blend regular unleaded or E10 with denatured ethanol or E85, make your mid-level blends in areas where you can sell that for flex fuel vehicles. And also, you know, if you have denatured ethanol and regular gasoline, you can blend all your products. You can be eligible for the volumetric ethanol excise tax credit and perhaps RINs if you're set up appropriately.
So how does this benefit a consumer?
Well, what we're looking at is if we can lower the price of the fuel at the dispenser or at the delivery point of the ultimate gas station, then they will take the margin they need, and yet at the same time it could lower the price for consumers. At the same time, it presents the opportunity to have more domestic renewable fuel out in the consumer marketplace, because a lot of consumers are starting to think a little different about their fuel choices, and this is one of the rarer instances where they would have a choice.
Well, let's talk about the benefit of fuel choice. Today, oil topped $80 a barrel. There are some experts who are predicting that we could see $100 a barrel somewhere around Christmas time after the first of the year. They're hoping it doesn't get as bad as what we saw in 2008. But how is ethanol in our marketplace going to help consumers?
Well, the consumers need to realize that the domestic ethanol production today consists of more than 7% of our total fuel supply. If we were to turn off the ethanol industry today, $80 a barrel oil would be catastrophic, let alone 100 or 120 or 140 like we have seen. And, you know, some people obviously think we'll get back to in near future. The ability of having domestic fuel production that is not regulated by OPEC or another monopoly type system presents itself for not only the economic benefits in our state of our economy, but also all the other benefits to the environment and just simply to our economy overall.
This is the first time RFA and the American Coalition for Ethanol were able to take their Blend Your Own, or BYO, ethanol program introduced earlier this year to the retailers. Joanna also talked with Ron Lamberty of ACE at the show.
You're here with your BYO ethanol program. Can
Right.
you tell me what the response has been among the retailers?
It's been good. Had a lot of great responses from the states who want to get more information about blending and blender pumps out to their state groups. And then the people who have stopped by just kind of are curious, what's the idea here? And when you explain the concept behind a blender pump and that you can, you know, blend from two tanks you already have and make several products that customers want and be a little more flexible, a little more profitable, they get it, including the fact that a lot of them have to replace pumps in the next several months anyway. And so because there's programs out there and incentives out there, be able to put in a pump more economically than they would have otherwise.
Well, a lot of what we've been hearing is that some of the hesitancy of retailers to go ahead and put in this blender technology is fear of not having UL certification.
Right.
So let's touch a little bit on the UL certification hurdle that we're seeing.
Well, the UL certification, basically, I think 3 years ago at this convention, they announced that their previous rules for putting in E85, which were basically that you had to have a pump that was certified to sell gas in order to sell E85. You know, I don't know whether UL saw an opportunity. You hate to think that about somebody who's supposed to be a safety organization, but they put together rules. The pumps that we have, like in our booth here, this pump that we have has met their standards. They've taken the test, they've passed the test, but UL says until everything from the shear valve below the pump to the nozzle that you pump, until everything there has been tested and passed, they're not going to give these guys their grade. So it's like, you know, being in a class, you got one guy who didn't want to take the test because he was sick or whatever his reason was. The teacher says nobody gets a grade. So what we're telling people is, obviously, this has passed the test. So if you're going to put in a pump that will sell E85, any blend that we get approved in the future, and there's incentives available to make that pump less expensive, you should buy it. You know, that's the way you should try and sell E85. Not a standalone unit. Do a unit that all of your customers help pay for, not just your E85 customers. It makes E85 a lot more competitive. It gives them the option of putting things like E30 in. And yes, the UL thing matters, but what we're finding is that most fire marshals and you know, jurisdictional officials that have authority over these things have been able to accept this pump because it's not a safety concern. So the ones that want to do it find a way to do it. The ones that don't want to do it find an excuse, basically.
Okay, so I was going to say, now the retailers who've done it, I've heard a lot of feedback that has been very beneficial for those, yep, who have done it. What has been the feedback to you?
As far as blender pumps in general, people who have used them, you know, petroleum marketers basically don't want to choose sides. They don't want to say, I love ethanol more than gas, or I love gas more than ethanol. They want to provide products their customers buy. And what they've found is that in some cases, people who wouldn't buy E85 might buy an E30. The other thing is, because so much E10 is being sold pre-blended by oil companies and they jack the price up on it occasionally, it gives them a little bit of competitive advantage where they can buy an E85 more economically, buy the unleaded, blend their own, take some extra margin, or pass it on the street if they're in a market where they're competing tough. So everybody that has used blender pumps, anybody that I've heard from, has done well. They prefer it as the way to sell E85.
More information about the BYO Ethanol program can be found at byoethanol.com. I'm Cindy Zimmerman with the Ethanol Report.